dusk until dawn, on and on till you came in my life. Oh, 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 oh. Now I'm seeing through brand new eyes. Oh, 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 oh. Singing hallelujah, 'cause I'm baptized, seeing the light every single day by my side. And in your arms, I realize heaven was right here the whole time. Healed by your kiss, blessed by something that I'm trying to kill. Soaking up the sunrise, taking in the blue skies, wishing I could make it all stand still. Oh, 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 oh. Baby, you're the best kind of falling. Oh, 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 now I got a higher calling. Baptized, seeing the light every single day by my side. And in your arms, the real.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowd Flip. My name is Kiana, and today I have a very exciting interview for you with Mannequin Pussy. Woo! I am in a pretty frantic headspace. I made it just in time. I am here in the studio, rare occasion, recording live from the unceded traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. And I think to get us started, I'm just going to start by playing some of their music. I'm going to start with I Got Heaven, off of I Got Heaven, of course. And I will be back. Enjoy.
Our mothers did, and them and those before. And you say you
Hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip. My name's Kiana, and today I just played some Mannequin Pussy. I just played I Got Heaven and Loud Bark, both off the I Got Heaven album. I had the pleasure of seeing them live. They had two shows originally in Vancouver on July 23rd and 24th, and then they canceled one of them. But we were still able to get a ticket to see one of the shows. It was very, so incredible. And I think getting to do the interview beforehand was a really great way to set the stage. And I don't know, sometimes when you go into concerts and they kind of, artists want to get the crowd involved, sometimes you're in kind of the same headspace as you were maybe during your 9-to-5, where you kind of don't really feel like singing along or yelling or something. And Missy, the singer of Mannequin Pussy, talked a lot about like trying to release and let go of shame that we are so conditioned to engage in, and how their band was able to find an outlet and work together to release that and have an outlet to release anger specifically, and how if you let anger fester inside you, it is like a poison that will make you sick, essentially. And I guess I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to play the interview. Thank you to Maya, who's been on the show before, co-Crowdflip interviewer, if you will. She came up with very, very thoughtful questions. And we only had not much time with Missy, so we didn't get to ask a lot. We kind of had to be mindful of time, but yeah, I just want to say thank you to Maya for making this happen. And she does a lot of amazing things. Yeah, runs Vancouver Black Library. Shout out. Okay, anyways, I'm going to start this interview. And yeah, it's just with Missy. However, seeing all the members, Kayleen, Maxine, and Bear, and Missy work together was very amazing. Okay, enjoy. Bye. Oh, let's see if it's going to work. So actually, I'm just going to keep talking about the show. So Gouge Away was the opener. And super, super good band. And yeah, overall, an amazing show. Yeah, I'm actually gonna keep talking about the interview. I was very nervous and blabbering on. I think it's a gift to be so eloquent, and it comes with, you know, practice. Yeah. Okay, here it is, hopefully. Goodbye.
Like, to open it up, like, are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet. Okay, what do you think it takes for rage to be positively transformative?
I'm a huge believer, and I say this like every night at our shows, I think in order for your rage to positively transform you and potentially the people around you, you can't allow it to just sit inside of you. I think that undiagnosed rage, I think ignored rage, ignored anger, all those things are exactly how white supremacists in power have brainwashed people into hating people that they've never met for no fucking reason at all. I think that it's that there's something about unexamined anger that then starts to spread in your body like a poison. Mm-hmm. And it makes you very fearful and distrustful and easily manipulated to anything that might alleviate this anger that you're just ignoring in you.
Yeah.
So the longer that you ignore it, the more that poison spreads, and then you become dangerous to yourself and other people. I really think is what it is. But I also think that rage is a universal experience and emotion for most people. Mm-hmm. That it's something that all of us are going to come into contact with at a certain point, and there's like boiling points for us all where it's like there's just this moment where you can't fucking take it anymore, and it's then that you need to learn how to transform it into something else. And mm-hmm. so for us, like as artists, like we've taken our rage and we put it into a song, or we like write a poem, or we give voice to our anger and work on it as like a collective and cathartic art project between the band members, you know. It's like we all are experiencing these different shades of rage. Mm-hmm. And then like when we come together, it's like, okay, well now how do we purge it from ourselves? Like where do we let it live that isn't just like sitting in us all the time?
Yeah.
And that could look like so many different avenues or expressions for different people depending on what it is that they're interested in or what actually just makes them feel good. And for us, it's like writing songs and just like screaming.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like making a noise that society has deemed unpleasurable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a really beautiful answer. That was really good.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thoughts?
Yeah. I feel like also you and your band seem to have a really great like relationship from like the interviews I've seen, and even if it's unspoken, I feel like I know you all without it like maybe not speaking directly about things, but like internally seeing other people with that like in community or in whatever space you're in.
Yeah,
it's really important to have people in your life who are non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like judgment is why we start to hide things.
Shame.
And shame is how we are controlled to hide things. Mm-hmm. And like when you are if you are lucky enough, and it takes practice and learning and trial and error sometimes, but like how do you open up to other people? Like how do you make people in your life mm-hmm. that aren't going to judge you for actually having very human behaviors and reactions to things sometimes?
Yeah. Well, any marginalized group, you're like conditioned to be like shameful about literally like almost anything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's so important to get rid of the people pleasing like tendencies and take up space.
Yeah. Think about what pleases yourself.
Yeah.
So the next question, when asked what is the role of punk music, you described it as something that pokes and pushes you to examine yourself and society and your place within it all. So what has been the hardest thing for you to examine within yourself?
A desire for more has actually been hard sometimes for me to examine.
Yeah.
And I think this actually is also like a very like universal artist experience where you make something, you finish it, which is huge just to finish something. And you kind of like celebrate the feeling of accomplishing this thing that you set out to do mm-hmm. for about 30 seconds before you start feeling like a piece of shit again who like will never make anything or like a hat or you know, just you like immediately are like, but that like wasn't good enough, or like that wasn't my best, or this wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I think greed is one of the truest evils in the world, and so making sure that as artists you're not going down this path of but I want more is really important to kind of like halt and examine and see like, is that a pressure from capitalism? Mm-hmm. Is that a pressure from a society telling me that like what you have isn't enough and you should always be striving for more? And then try to break that down so that you can more freely just like live in the present and be very grateful in the day to day as to what you have.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because like so much of the record is like speaking to like yearning and desire, and it's like at what point does like what you yearn for and what you desire for become like greedy or like in excess?
Yeah,
that's a good answer. Thank you. So you've mentioned that when you were first started working on this project, it was in essence a pursuit of catharsis any way possible. So like it doesn't have to be one big thing, but just like what comes to mind for like what satiates your desire.
I just feel like my whole life I've been so angry and very much in like a why is the world like this anger, like why are people like this, why do people treat each other like this, and it's just I think the more that you, especially as an American, when I was younger, like graduating high school, going to university, I studied political science, and so I was really, you do too? I got like immensely depressed by learning the reality of the government and the country in which I live, where it's like you grew up, you knew that this was not a fair exchange, this was not an equitable exchange of the, again, like the way that capitalism affects just like people's minds and hearts and the way that they like treat other people around them.
Yeah.
And I think when I really started studying it and pulling back the veil, it was just so heartbreaking to see just how deep like the United States as a white supremacist nation is, and its effect that it has had in every corner of the earth. And then you think about your own complicity in these systems and the way that you feed into these systems and how do you stop them. And I think that coupled with personal trauma I had that I didn't know how to do anything but ignore. And again, the longer you ignore something, the more it creeps up and shows up in different ways in your life. And my mother got sick and I had moved home to help take care of her when I was like 22, and I just, everything just felt like unfair. It was like another aspect of it. And then you're like, you know, there's some sort of relief at a certain point where you're like, yeah, life isn't fair.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be hit with things sometimes, and eventually you realize like the only control you have is your own like reaction to what's thrown at you.
Yeah.
And, but I desperately wanted a cathartic outlet because I was just so angry and I was so sad and things were not looking the way that I maybe thought that they would. And I think that's like one of the great myths and lies that we also tell young people, is that you're supposed to have it all figured out when you're like 18 or something. That you're just supposed to like graduate into this world and know exactly where you want to go in it without any sense of curiosity or like I think that that's like completely the wrong way. We should be like pushing young people out into the world. It's instead of being like, you should know what you want to do and go do it, it's like, go be curious, go learn about things, make some mistakes, be an asshole, learn how to not be an asshole, like learn what compassion looks like, learn what empathy looks like. And like some of these things are not inherent in a very cruel world, so it takes time to learn them. And music for me, I just like, I always wanted to be in a band ever since I was like a little girl. Like I think I saw 10 Things I Hate About You, and it was like in that movie where she like really wants the guitar and there's like the band that she goes sees, and I was just like, wow, like okay, like yeah, women can be angry. There's more to us than just being like accessories in someone else's story.
Beautifully answered.
That was
awesome. Thank you. Next. So, in your Pitchfork interview, you discussed as a child feeling forced to conceal your sadness and only being able to release your emotions through dance at that time. As, you know, for me, like, eldest and, like, parentified daughter, I really related to that feeling. So, I would love to know, like, now, what have you found allows you to metabolize sadness?
All the things they say that you should do that are actually really hard to build the habits around, mm-hmm. which are like daily meditation, exercise.
That's what everyone says.
And cooking for yourself.
Hell yeah.
It's like there's, I talk about this all the time, but like years ago, I was listening to like some neuroscientist and he was saying that he did these like happiness studies on serotonin and dopamine. And basically, like, we're obviously a dopamine-obsessed society, which is part of why we're, like, emotionally crashing all the time. But there's only three ways to build serotonin in your brain, and that makes you feel stable and happy and content. And it's mm-hmm. just face-to-face time spent with other people, yeah. cooking a meal for yourself and someone else, and exercise. That's
yeah.
it.
Well, yeah.
And if you're not doing a combination of those three things on the regular, like, your brain's gonna slip.
Yeah.
And so thinking about the entirety of your vessel as like brain, body, soul,
uh-huh.
community, I think is like the only way that I
yeah.
get through moments where it feels. In the interview that we just did, they asked, not this question, but like something a little similar that brought up the word Weltschmerz, which is this German word that's, it's the word that you, Germans are so good at this, of having like one word to describe a feeling.
Yeah.
And Weltschmerz is like the pain you feel for the world, mm-hmm. world pain.
Yeah.
Of just like, there's so much going on that makes me feel so small and powerless. And there are just so many times where you're like, I don't know how much like more
yeah.
pain I could take. And then it's ultimately then comes down to like what you do in the micro world yeah. of yourself that then maybe just makes it a little bit
mm-hmm.
better, and then you are like a better member of your community because you actually like have strength to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I know you were like wanting to ask about like how to like move in community, like
Hello, you are listening to CITR. Hello? Hello? You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And I just realized that this is CrowdFlip. No, that's not what I realized. I just realized that I paused the part of this interview because I was rambling, and I'm so glad that Missy saw me and understood me and still knew what I was trying to say. But I think I was just trying to say, like, you can't, there are things in routine like sleep and therapy that are so important to creativity and are inherently punk, as Maya said, somatic healing is punk, and it's hard to make time for that stuff. But if you don't make time for that stuff, there's no way that you can try and care for your community if you're like not doing anything that is helpful to you. I'm going to be back with the interview after this ad.
Services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Hey Vancouver, looking for your summer plans? MRG Live has you covered. Catch Caroline Kingsbury,
also in the back, I am playing Nala Sinefro Continuum. if you enjoy the background music. Okay, thank you.
I think you have to develop so much patience. Oh, yeah, I think our collective generations are very much in this, like, breaking ancestral curses and habits mm-hmm. of just, like, oh, maybe there's a better way mm-hmm, to yeah. process the way that we feel or not to yeah, ignore the yeah. way that we feel or mm-hmm. to, like, just simply exist
yeah.
in mm-hmm. a more free sense of whatever that could mean of, yeah. like, not this idea of the way that you're supposed to be, but actually mm-hmm. a way that's true for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, but it's like, I think you have to develop so much patience for living slower mm-hmm. and like realizing that it takes a lot of concentrated time mm-hmm. to make yourself feel good. And because of the systems that are set up, we're constantly trying to rush through things and like kind of skip ahead to where we want to be
yeah.
rather than realizing it's like all the little moments that get you mm-hmm. there. And like, you know, spending 20 minutes meditating or like an hour cooking a meal for yourself, like mm-hmm. the more of those things that you try to rush through mm-hmm. the more your like nervous system is never going to feel settled.
Yeah. Somatic well-being is punk.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I'm a huge, huge believer in that.
I love when you said you were at the spa and you, like, came up with, like, I think it was a lyric in Loud Bark.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that you were, like, cooking at the spa.
I think I wrote, like, pretty much all of I Got Heaven, the song, Loud Bark, and Sweep Me Open at this place in LA called We Spa. It's mm-hmm. like a 24-hour Korean spa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We gotta go.
Okay, cool. So does the Secta Train or Columbus Avenue in Connecticut sound familiar or bring any emotion?
In Connecticut?
Or am I...
Well, the side of Connecticut I was on, we had the Metro North.
Okay.
And which does Maybe, evoke a lot of memories.
Okay.
And then SEPTA is the Philadelphia, Jersey
okay.
train.
Okay.
So they both are okay. important train lines in my life.
Did you metabolize sadness on these trains?
I definitely have cried on both of those, yeah.
Yes, we suspected.
There's something so cathartic about crying about Wig. I don't know why. I've done it so many times in my life. I'm just, like, thinking about something.
I feel like commuting, walking, running, driving, bussing.
It's indulgent. Crying.
Yeah.
I cry a lot. I cry more now because I find something so beautiful, mm-hmm. which is a nice switch in my life.
Yeah, I love that for you. We have to... Is there anything important to you that you feel that you still have yet to say, whether, like, through a record or, like... I know you're probably, like... processing like different, you know, things that you would want to convey all the time, but like, is there anything like pointedly that you feel like I really want to communicate this and haven't yet?
Oh, I hope so. I think so. I think I'm like constantly just sitting around and thinking. Like, I think a huge part of like an artist's job is to give yourself time to sit and think and to examine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, not rushing through things or trying to do things quickly, but like actually like really sitting with it. And I have a lot I want to say about the United States and about billionaires and about greed and capitalism and the ways in which... there's a lot I want to say about men, honestly. I think I've thought a lot about our next record being like a concept record about men in different ways of society and like really trying to approach it from a place of a desire to understand and empathy, because I am... really, as much as I'm like an active participant in culture, I'm also an observer of it as well. Mm-hmm. And I've really been noticing this, like, manufactured or not, like I'm really worried about this, like the tensions between genders and this like severe lack of empathy that I'm really starting to see on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm really worried about violence against women and trans people. I'm really worried again about legislation that's being passed in the United States that's going to further the divide, because there's so many reasons why.
Is it okay if I move this closer?
Yeah, yeah. There are so many reasons why, like, women should hate men, and it's unfair that we have to kind of like work that out and show more empathy and understanding, because the flip side of it is like more violence against someone. Like, me being cruel to someone instead of like trying to compassionately connect or understand where they're coming from could potentially have a domino effect where they then enact violence against someone else.
Yeah.
And I think it's remarkably unfair that's there, but I've been reading a lot of like studies on young men and how they're just like not being equipped to like enter society.
Yeah.
And that's gonna have a huge effect on all of us. And like, I think women should be making gains in all sectors, but I'm worried that like, if it's so unbalanced, what does that mean for like, for the future of the way that people interact with each other or just talk to each other? Or I don't know. I'm still working these things out, so they're not like fully formed thoughts, but this is something I've been thinking about a lot.
That disparity is like concerning and like growing all the time.
Yeah, they were saying that, like, I was reading this, like, one study called The Lost Boys, which was, like, this UK study that they did on, like, young men ages, like, 14 to 24 or something. And they found that something like 75% of those men have, like, never asked someone out.
Yeah, in cell culture.
Yeah, and the boomers, who are not a standard which to go by, but it was, like, the flip side was 75% of male boomers had a relationship during that time.
Yeah.
And so just like being able to talk to someone, and also like what it means to be able to handle rejection, because capitalism is all about rejection. You are constantly going to be rejected by jobs and universities and by people and by friends, and like you have to learn to be brave enough to handle rejection and put yourself out there and try. And if there are potentially like hundreds of thousands or millions of people who are even too afraid to try, again, I'm like worried about what kind of violence that looks like.
Yeah.
Because I even see it a lot more as a band, where like in the last year, much more like hatred from men for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to figure this out.
Yeah. Misandry's on a come up right now.
Yeah, and I'm really worried about that, because I don't think that that's the answer.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think that hating men is ultimately going to be good for the betterment of anyone's community. Mm-hmm. And like pushing men out. But like, again, it's like it's an unfair responsibility. So I try to like, for all the experiences I've had, it's like I should hate them. But I don't know where that hatred would really get me. If I like responded in kind to some of the things that I get, if I was like, oh yeah, you know, like it would only, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah,
I don't know.
This is interesting for your radio show. Like, your their shows about
rage can isolate you, and I think when rage isolates you, like what we talked about at the very beginning of this, where I was like, that's how they make fucking white supremacists.
Yeah.
That's how they fucking manipulate people into like just
blindly
hating.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, it's not good.
There's a lot of like common threads, like through everything you're saying, like it's all like, coming together, like, yeah, everything you're saying is speaking to like common themes that like just make a lot of sense, like with the record and your photography.
And also just like the fast pace that you need to be in Capism. I had a question about like vulnerability coming from routine. So those things you mentioned, like exercise, meditation, like not, people don't always have time for those things or like creative outlets, and then so, and how that can be just so harmful if you're, because you just keep going until you either have time or something really bad happens.
Yeah.
Or
you have like a full breakdown.
Yeah. It all goes hand in hand. Also, this is a question that I hope you don't mind me asking. You're not. You talk a lot about like opening doors for other bands. We've been practicing.
You all started a band together?
We like to rehearse your song.
Oh, cool.
She loves to scream and is a great singer.
Okay.
I play drums.
Not too much.
And whatever. Anyways, so.
Amazing.
Anything, any advice you can give to people starting to practice?
Yes. The arts is a lifelong commitment. To be an artist is a lifelong commitment, in the same way that activism is a lifelong commitment, community is a lifelong commitment, all of those things are. And so I think a lot of people, I think social media has really warped our minds and our expectations and perceptions of like what it means to have success or what success is. But like, if you start doing something because you feel you need to, and there's like a part of you that needs to be spoken to and examined, and like you're doing it because you love to make something, have the commitment to just keep doing that thing and getting better and better and better at your craft. Like, I do believe that some people are just born like, what is it, preternaturally talented, but for the rest of us, we got talent through practice.
Yeah,
like the performer I am now on stage is not at all the performer I was 10 years ago. Maybe there were echoes of that person, but it was like through talent or through practice and dedication that ultimately we found talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not something that you should concern yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Off the bat. It's like, I think just like the committing to being an artist means examining yourself, examining the world around you, and continuing to do that for the majority of your life.
Yeah, that is excellent advice. That feels very good to hear.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Our band is by no means an overnight success story, you know?
No,
like,
yeah.
We were playing in people's basements for like 10 years before anyone really gave a shit in that way. And we did it because it was what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Well, so also open yourself up to the possibility that good things can happen to you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a really big believer that words are spells, and the way that you talk about yourself and other people invites things into your life. And so you don't want to ever be the type of person who's like, nothing good ever happens for me, or like, isn't that just my, it's like you have to really start to change the mindset that you have of like, that good things could happen to you. Even when the dark stuff's happening too.
Yeah. Amazing.
Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I'll be back after this promo.
And you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Hello again. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip, and you just heard an interview with Missy from Mannequin Pussy. Thank you to Missy for taking time to answer our questions and for being so gracious and kind. But I also feel, I think that's just what happens when you release shame and you are confident in yourself, so it's easier to, you know, not judge others who mean well. But anyways, that's also thank you to Maya for such thought and curiosity and love put in to those questions, and you know, as fans do their deep dives, that is my favorite part of an interview, and sometimes the words don't come out so eloquently, and that's okay. During the show, Missy basically talked about kind of the same thing that she talked about during the interview, and how, specifically how, hold on, I'm going to try and play it. However, let's see, it might not work, but this is from their show.
One of the things that we have realized as artists over the years is that the reason for that is that every single one of you in this room, every single one of you in this room, whether you look like us or not, because ultimately that is superficial for what I'm talking about,
a billionaire, as though that fucking means anything. people around you, you are easy to control and you are desperate for anything the government says that might help you. And it is so, so frustrating that this continues to be perpetuated every single day. And so every fucking day, that pit of rage grows in you because you see the world for what it is. You see the myths of these countries that have tried to convince us all that they are great. Because as an American, fuck the United States.
Listening to CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Cream by Mannequin Pussy off of the there's a band outside. Oh right. Oh, the next show will be so awesome. Oh, maybe you can hear this. This is great. Wow. Okay, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip, and you just heard Cream by Mannequin Pussy off of their project Patience. And I also really wanted to play Control, which I'm playing in the background, and I'm not so sure if you can hear it. Everyone else says as I think we have to end the show because there is another show on next with a band, live band. That's so exciting. But so that was Control by Mannequin Pussy off of their Perfect project EP. And that is such a great song. I teared up a little while listening to it. And I also played a part from their show Where Missy Is Talking about the rage that builds. And essentially, in another part of the show, she talks about traditionalism and rise of conservatism, and how if that works for someone, that's totally great and awesome. But it's a problem when they try to legislate it. Obviously, they are coming from an American perspective. However, it's quiet. It's subtle here. Canada loves to do that. But it happens here in similar ways. So anyways, also in Control, yeah, she says, I don't know what's waiting for anyone. And I thought it was fitting. The uncertainty that comes up in life kind of makes people maybe angry, because it always feels like we're supposed to be going and pushing to, like, strive for something. But, yeah, so moments of uncertainty can be scary and lead to sort of rage. So anyways, I guess they all advocate for that sort, an outlet, literally anything. If screaming doesn't work for you, like, obviously there are many different things. But during the concert, there was a moment where they asked the crowd to just let out a good scream, and it felt so good and felt very full circle. And the interview really set the stage for just wanting to let it all out. And I asked a question about, because they talk about opening the door for other bands, and that was really beautiful. It was, she was speaking in the midst of the background sounds of, you know, people rehearsing, which I wonder if you can, it kind of sounds the same now. I love its natural background music. What a beauty and blessing in life. Anyways, Control, yeah, uncertainty. Oh, tomorrow is my 25th birthday, so what better way than to listen to Mannequin Pussy get advice from an interview and play music on the CITR monitors. If you were ever wanting to start a show at CITR, let it be that you can listen to music on these, wow, chef's kiss monitors in the station. Anyways, yeah, I guess I'm just going to continue playing Control because I gave a little sneak peek. But I hope you enjoyed this interview. I hope everyone stays safe. Take care of yourself. Let's all take Missy's advice. Let's cook some meals and exercise and take care of ourselves so we can take care of our community and those around us. I'm sure, oh, I have so many, honestly, audio recordings of this concert. I'm sure in a month's time I will be back and playing them and talking more about them. I hope you enjoyed. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Crowdflip. Have a good night. And Crowdflip is on the first Thursday of each month from 8 to 9. Okay, bye.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and that's Canada, boys.